Lloyd. How are you, my friend?
What's going on, Kenny? How you doing?
I'm down here at the queue, and they have ice down here right now, Jason. Okay, so we've got a hockey game tonight, but they'll take that baby down, rip it apart, and get ready for Sunday. First time in 4 years we're going to have playoffs back here in Cleveland. You were out at Cleveland Clinic Courts today where the Cavaliers worked out and spoke to you guys afterwards. I'm curious. You've covered this team for a long time now. LeBron's mood. Give me an idea, since I couldn't come out there because I was down here today. Give me an idea of what his mood was like as he addressed the media today.
Very serious, very businesslike. It was actually it's kind of similar to media day. I thought he was kind of grumpy, actually, if you go back to media day. But he was it was just very serious, very business. No, not a lot of joking around, and that's kind of how he was today. You know, I asked him a little bit. I wanted to actually try to get into the 2010 series against Boston with him today, and he just wasn't interested in talking about it. You could tell that right away. Normally with LeBron, we've been around him enough. You can tell within the first minute what kind of mood he's in and which direction he wants to go with things. And I asked him about the 2010 series, and I said, you know, I know a lot of series have stuck with you in the past that you've lost, and how do we remember about that one? And he just gave this simple answer of, you know, yeah, they're all bother me when we lose, and that one is stuck with me like they all do, and he was ready to move on, so maybe we'll circle back and try again tomorrow on that.
All right, yeah, because his last game, we all remember it, leaving the Garden, taking his jersey off after he went for almost a quadruple-double, one turnover shy of a quadruple-double in that game, and then the rest is history, so hopefully a different outcome with this series against the Boston Celtics. Do you think at all, Jason, that there's the possibility that they overlook the Celtics because guys like myself and others are saying they're going to sweep the Celtics in four games?
Well, I'm with you there. I said the same thing, and LeBron actually flat out said there will be no overlooking the Celtics. You know, he made a point of saying, you know, and David Blatt and Sean Marion and a couple others said everybody's 0-0 now. You know, the typical throw the records out the window, that's what they all say at this point. I believe them, though, because, you know, The Heat played some pretty lousy teams in the first round the last couple of years, and LeBron destroyed them. The Heat teams just destroyed them. He's, you know, 24-3 the last 6 years in the first round. They don't mess around. His teams typically don't mess around against first round opponents. They get rid of them quickly, and then they move on. And certainly, I don't suspect this going beyond five games at the absolute most, and I would think it's going to be a sweep.
How important was it for the Cavaliers to get this series against the Celtics because Tristan, Kevin Love, Kyrie, and let's throw David Blatt in there, they've never participated in the NBA playoffs before, so is this a good first-round matchup for those first-timers?
Well, it's better than the Pacers. It's better than Indiana would have been just because Indiana's so playoff-tested. So, you know, when that team was lingering as a possible playoff opponent, that was the one team where I thought, man, that's a tough way to open. That's a tough road to go down. And frankly, it's probably better than Brooklyn, too, because Brooklyn has a lot of guys that are playoff-tested as well. So it's probably an ideal setup for the teams that they had to pick from. It's probably the way you would want to go. Now, the real ideal path would have been had Chicago lost the final game and fallen out of the Cavs half of the bracket, so that Cleveland would then only have to play Chicago or Atlanta to advance rather than having to go through both of them. That would have been ideal, and they were real close to having that, but that's not the case. It's not the way it's going to be. But in terms of first rounds, I think this is probably the best opponent they could have picked to open against.
Yeah, you and I were here at the game the other night, and we were back in the media room watching the updates on that score, and we were like, Atlanta's up 18, oh, great. And then, lo and behold, they take their starters out in the fourth quarter, and Chicago comes all the way back, and that could be the second-round matchup between the Cavs and the Chicago Bulls to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're talking with Jason Lloyd from the Akron Beacon Journal, Cavs beat reporter. Jason, what are your concerns about this team? I picked them to win a championship before the season started. I feel even better after the acquisitions they made midseason and the way they've played down the stretch, but it's not going to be easy. So where are the areas that you're concerned with for the Cavaliers as they try and make this championship run?
Well, the first thing, I think they addressed one of the concerns I had at the start of the season, which was I said from the start, I don't know how the Cavs are going to match up with Chicago's front court. Just the size that Chicago can throw at teams, I thought could really be a problem for the Cavs. The fact that they added Timo obviously neutralizes some of that, so that helps. You know, other things that I'm curious to see is how David Blatt adjusts from one game to the next and even from one half to the next. But certainly within a series, you know, I've said it all year, weird things happen in a series. And guys who are not normally in certain positions find themselves in these positions, whether it's changing your starting lineup or changing your rotation to take advantage of what you see on the other side. And I'm going to be curious to see how the Cavs respond to that. And, you know, I go back to what Anthony Parker said when I talked to AP before the season about Blatt, and he said he was the best coach he ever coached or he ever played for, and he thought David would shine his brightest in situations just like this, in seven-game series where he can strategize from game one to two and two to three and so on. He thought he would excel in those situations, and we'll see. You know, we have no reason to believe he will. We have no reason to believe he won't. We'll have to play that by ear. But, you know, I go back and I think about that game in Atlanta, the game the Cavs played in Atlanta toward the end of the season, and the Hawks blitzed the Cavs on all pick and rolls. And the Cavs never really had a counter to it, and they never really knew how to react and how to respond to it. And LeBron even conceded after the game, you know, we didn't handle it well, but if they do it again, we'll be ready for them in the postseason. But it's just that was just one of those things where how come they couldn't do it in game, and why did the Cavs struggle with it so much? LeBron and Kyrie particularly, why was this such an issue with them? And those are the type of things that get magnified in a postseason series. And then also, of course, obviously the biggie, I guess, is David's rotation, fourth quarter rotation of pulling Mozgov so much, and can you do that in the postseason? Can you sit your best rim protector in the fourth quarter? And he's doing it because of the way he likes to defend. He likes to switch on all pick and rolls, and you can't really switch with Timo in there when opponents are going small on you. That's why he likes to use Tristan. But, you know, I think we all remember the Indiana-Miami series a couple of years ago when the Pacers got cute and pulled Hibbert.
Yep.
And then it cost them a game. And I just wonder if the Cavs will find themselves in that situation, first of all, if Timo plays or not, and secondly, if it does cost them a game, how David Blatt reacts to that when he's pressed and questioned about it.
Greg Popovich did the same thing against Miami in the NBA Finals when he took out Duncan twice, the offensive rebounds. You remember?
Yes. Okay. I forgot about that until you mentioned that, but you're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think against Boston, maybe you don't use Timo as much in that fourth quarter, depending on what lineup's out there. But if they go in against the Bulls, Timo's going to have to be in there if you have Gasol and Noah in there, don't you think?
I would think, but they played Toronto in the regular season with Valanciunas in there, and he pulled him in favor of Tristan.
Yeah.
In games where Tristan really wasn't even playing that well. So, yeah, I would suspect that Timo's going to be out there. But, you know, again, and that's kind of the thing that I'm interested to see is I just keep saying, I've said it all year, weird things happen in the playoffs. Kawhi Leonard starts at the four in the playoffs for the Spurs at times. And just things that never you suspect would never happen in the regular season just seem to work in the playoffs because of matchups. And I'm just curious to see. The one thing in the Cavs' favor is they are so versatile. They can play so many different styles. They can go small. They can go big. They can play any style that they want, and they've had great success doing it. But it's just going to be finding the right style in the right series and just – I'm just curious to see, I'm really fascinated to see how some of these rotations are going to shake out. And I've maintained all along, I think some of these guys that have not had big roles this year, when you look at Mike Miller and Sean Marion, James Jones played a little bit more toward the end, but these guys that have been forgotten pieces during this great run during the regular season, I still think they're going to come back and play big roles here at various points in the postseason.
I'll add a name to that because I interviewed him the other night after the game, and that's Kendrick Perkins. And when I sat down and chatted with him, it was about 2 minutes long, he brought up the no layup policy, and I was smiling from ear to ear, Jason, because they haven't had a guy that thinks that way over the years, going back to Nance, Doherty, and those fellas, as well as when LeBron was here before, where if you come down the lane, you're going to get knocked on your ass and have to earn those free throws at the free throw line at the charity stripe. So do you think he could be a guy that's inserted in certain situations to flex his muscles and send a message?
Hey, it's funny you mention it, because if you go back and look, when the Cavs played at Memphis late in the season, Perk was the first big off the bench, and he was the first player off the bench. And a lot of people were kind of wondering, like, what's that all about? And the next game, I can't remember what game they played, but the very next game is the same thing. And the Cavs were taking a look at Perk with their starters, knowing in the postseason that's the group he's going to be out there with. So they wanted to get him some minutes with the starters to see if they could cover his offensive inefficiencies, because he's not a good offensive player. That's not
right.
A secret. He'll tell you that he's deficient offensively, and it hurts. It hurts what else you can do when teams can pretty much neglect him on the offensive end. But the Cavs wanted to see how much he had left. They were a little concerned when they picked him up because, frankly, Oklahoma City this year was worse when he was on the floor. And the Cavs knew that. But given what else was out there, they were, you know, happy to sign him and take him. But knowing that this isn't the perk of a few years ago and there are some flaws there now. But I don't know how big of a role he's going to have short of foul trouble. If there's foul trouble or injury, you know, all bets are off. Short of that, I'm not sure he's going to really play a big role in this. I've said all along, I think he's a break glass in case of emergency type of guy. And I maintain that. I think they're going to try and get by with Mozgov and Tristan in the middle. Unless one of those guys falls into foul trouble, I'm not sure Perk is going to play a lot.
Jason Lloyd, our guest, Cavs beat reporter for the Akron Beacon Journal, Ohio.com. Last thing, Jason, is this the most talent that LeBron has had going into the playoffs while playing for the Cavaliers?
I don't think there's any question about that. In fact, I asked him that the other night, and he said, you know, we'll see. He kind of dismissed it. I don't think he wanted to make any bold proclamation. In fact, everything he said gets blown up, and I don't think he wanted to really go there. But I don't think there's any question. I understand they won 66 games a few years ago, and then came back and won 60 games another year. But when you look at the talent around him, if you look at those teams, it's remarkable that those teams were as successful as they were when you go back and look at who was starting around him and who was coming off the bench. You know, Delonte West was the second-best player for stretches when he was here the first time. Talent-wise, position by position, there's no question to me this is clearly the most talented team. And I'm glad you put it that way because I don't think it's fair to compare this team to the teams that he won championships with in Miami. You know, I don't think it's a fair comparison at this point. But in terms of Cleveland teams only, I don't think there's any question this is by far the most talented team he's had.
Jason, we appreciate the insight. Great knowledge, as always. I'll see you down here on Sunday and throughout the playoffs. Enjoy the run. Hopefully it goes all the way through the middle of June.
Thanks, Kenny.
There he is, Jason Lloyd from the Akron Beacon Journal, giving you his insight. He's with the team day to day to day to day, traveling with them, around them all the time. And when he speaks, I listen very carefully, take some notes, and keep that in mind. And we'll see if he's right about Perk. I hope they don't need to go to Perk, but if they do, I feel confident enough that at least on the defensive end, like Jason was saying, that Kendrick Perkins will do his thing, and that's be Mr. Mean out there for the Cavaliers. Break time for us. Back with more of the Kenny Rhoda Show live from Quicken Loans Arena right after this.